Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me. And I have a guest today, then we're going to get to talking about WWE and what he does on the side beyond loving watching WWE. And it's very cool and interesting side gig, and I mentioned to him that I've never spoken to someone that has this profession and also is a passionate wrestling fan. So definitely take a listen to this show. I think you'll enjoy it, and if it's your first time, awesome. Hope you like the show. I'm doing more of these as I progress and grow, and things are growing quick, which is awesome. That's what I want. That's what you guys want, hopefully, right? And so thank you again for listening to me. I am one of many wrestling podcasts, but hopefully one of the few that you favorite or get excited when you see that I have a new episode up. And I'm trying to not make this all about complaining. I really do, because I love the product. And we go through some things that we critique and things that we love and, of course, things that are constructively criticized in WWE. And all of that is in our 35 to 40 minute conversation that I think you'll like. And so before I get there, guys, though, thank you again for joining me. And you can find me everywhere. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, SoundCloud. I mean, really anywhere. And Spotify and iHeartRadio as well. And also on Patreon.com/WWE Podcast, where all of this is ad free and exclusive audio as well. So, guys, check me out there. Please rate and review me anywhere that there are places to do it. And I want to thank Lawrence Prestige for coming on and discussing WWE with me as we get really into the thick of WrestleMania season. I mean, we're only, what, 5.5 weeks out from WrestleMania? It's crazy. It's crazy. It'll be March in just a few days. And so I'm excited for WrestleMania season to really kick in high gear. Let's get past Fastlane and get into the meat of the season. And it's about here, guys. It's just about here. So, all right, without any further ado, I'm going to take a quick intermission here. And on the other side is a conversation with Lawrence. I think you'll enjoy it. Stay tuned. Okay, so you guys know that I'm passionate about wrestling. What you may not know is that I'm also a big fitness enthusiast. I'm passionate about wrestling, and I'm also passionate about fitness. But what's most important to me is, what am I putting into my body? That is what is important to me, and I would really encourage you guys to check out NaioLabs.com. That's NaioLabs.com, NaioLabs.com. They have the cleanest pre-workout on the market. There's no tolerance buildup, no crash. There's a great pump with high energy. And if you're a vegan, well, you're in luck, because this is a 100% vegan product. The ingredients are NCAA compliant. There's no fillers, no crap. Okay? You won't need to go to the bathroom in the middle of your workout. You don't need to just run to the bathroom, take a quick break, and come back. That's not going to happen here. They also don't charge for shipping for U.S. orders. And if you want 10% off, we all love saving money. If you want 10% off, well, I've got an offer for you right now. And put in the code when you're checking out, MATT2019, M-A-T-T 2019, and you'll get 10% off of your order. You can't go wrong here, guys. Check out NAIOLabs.com. They've got very high quality product, I'm telling you right now. And like I said, if you want that discount, use MATT2019 at your order at checkout, and you'll get 10% off of your order. Check out NaioLabs.com today. Okay, right now I have with me Lawrence Prestige. Did I say that correctly, Lawrence Prestige?
Yeah, you got it awesome. First, actually. Not many people do. You've nailed
awesome.
It.
Awesome. That's good to hear. And I'm bringing him on today because we connected on Twitter, but he has a passion for wrestling, and I know that he also is not just into wrestling, and he has another passion. And why don't you let everyone know what that is?
Yeah, so for about 2 years now, I have been writing different children's books. Some of them have been more popular than others here in the UK. My most popular book's called Terror at the Sweet Shop, but also, as well as being a children's author, I've been a WWE fan for many years.
That's awesome. I have not spoken to an author yet, specifically a children's book author who's also a passionate wrestling fan. That's pretty cool. So what brought you into... and we'll talk about wrestling in just a second, but what brought you into writing? How did you get started in that? And what made you want to be a children's author, a children's book author?
Well, I think a lot of it was from when I was a child. There was an author here. I don't know how popular he is in the US, but there's an author called Roald Dahl who's responsible for writing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Matilda, those stories. And for me, just... I used to be really, really entertained and enthralled by his books. You know, if it wasn't for Roald Dahl, I wouldn't have got into reading, let alone writing my own books. And I just thought it'd be really cool if perhaps I could start to write books for children, and perhaps a kid that really had no interest in reading would pick up one of my books, and it might get them into reading in general, my books and other authors as well. So it's been stuff like that.
That's awesome. I think, you know, people can really understand that it's not just one thing that they can be passionate about, and whether they are, whether it's writing children's books, wrestling, which is obviously you and I share a passion for, or whatever it else may be. I mean, that is, I think that's very interesting. And I know that you can get your books on Amazon. Is that correct?
Yeah. My newest book's called Can Such Things Be, which is, a book full of about 12 different, short stories or rhymes, like short, quite long poems, I guess. But there's one in there about a little girl that wants to become a professional wrestler for the WWE called Jessica. It rhymes with wrestler, so it works. I'll take that. And yeah, and that's just one of the rhymes in my newest book, Can Such Things Be.
Oh, so you mixed a little bit of wrestling into some of your stories.
Yeah, it's about a little girl that she it's like a short little story in my book, and she's raised with loads of different brothers, but she has a passion for wrestling, and she turns out she's a little girl at school really interested in wrestling, and as the story develops, I don't want to give too much away, but as the story develops, she ends up becoming this professional wrestler as she's an adult.
I love it, and well, that's a great transition into WWE, and you and I share a passion for that. I've been watching for over 20 years. How long have you been watching WWE?
I remember I got introduced to WWE by going around my friend's house, and the first WrestleMania I watched was WrestleMania 17, which wasn't a bad one to start with, let's be honest. WrestleMania 17, quite a good one.
That's
to
like
start
with. Yeah. Wow, that is you set the bar really, really high to start when you watch wrestling. I mean, that was that's been kind of widely agreed upon. It's one of the best WrestleManias of all time. So that is that's a great place to start.
Yeah. Yeah, and so WrestleMania 17 was my first WrestleMania, and then I was a fan from that point on. I remember really being excited for the following WrestleMania because I sort of got on the bandwagon at that point and was going through the journey, and we had WrestleMania 18 with the NWO invasion, the Rock Hogan, Stone Cold Scott Hall and all that. But I think my favorite WrestleMania of all time was actually WrestleMania 20, which I thought, although it wasn't, you know, it was just sort of just coming out of the Attitude Era at that point, but I thought the whole card as a whole was a very strong card, WrestleMania 20, and I really, that's maybe not my favorite, but it's definitely up there, one of my fondest WrestleManias that I, as a teenager, that I really, really enjoyed.
And that's interesting you mentioned that. I was actually live in Madison Square Garden. That was my very first WrestleMania, and I agree with you, at least with the triple threat. I believe it was a Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Chris Benoit, and Chris Benoit ended up winning. And yeah. Outside of the Goldberg-Lesnar match that was, I mean, the crowd was just eating them alive. It was awesome to be there, and I do see why you would enjoy that. Outside of Goldberg Lesnar, which, as I said, was a bit of a disaster, but I mean, I subsequently attended WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, and now, I mean, I'm up in upstate New York, and so WrestleMania this year is in MetLife, and working on getting tickets down there. So you mentioned that was one of your favorite memories. Do you have anything else that you stand back and you go, now, when you watch it, you're like, now that's why I'm a wrestling fan. You know, you just look back and maybe you'll YouTube some old clips, like things that I know you started at WrestleMania 17, which was in 2001, I believe. And so what were some of the other, just a couple other memories that you look back and go, yeah, that was awesome.
I'm trying to think what Royal Rumble it was. I'm not sure if it was the one Chris Benoit won it, actually. And I remember really being a teenage kid marking out for Last Man Standing, Triple H and Shawn Michaels. And they had that Last Man Standing match at a Royal Rumble. And it ended with them both just down. Neither of them were able to come go and get up. And I remember really marking out quite bad for that because I really wanted Shawn Michaels to win at the time. Like, just get on your feet, Shawn, kind of thing. And, yeah, so that was, I mean, I remember that was a really fun memory. I always remember that. And, like I said, WrestleMania 21, Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit for me is probably one of my favourite WrestleMania moments. The fact seeing them both in the ring together at the time was a very memorable moment for me. And, Eddie Guerrero beating Brock Lesnar as well for the WWE Championship. I was a really big Eddie Guerrero fan as well. And then I guess, you know, the last time, I haven't marked out in a while in terms of WWE, but I think The Rock returning was probably the last time I really was really excited when he came back to start his year-long feud with John Cena. I wasn't particularly a fan of the rematch they did, but, you know, the first Rock Cena feud they had, I really, really enjoyed that.
And it's amazing that they were able to promote that for a full year in advance and keep you interested. I mean, they did a very, very good job. And, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing more of that. You know, long-term planning seems to be something that is not often utilized in WWE. It seems to be week to week. You hear about Vince McMahon rewriting shows at the last minute. So for them to promote a match a year out was something of really noteworthy, and it should be applauded that they were able to keep the people's interest for a full year. And like you said, when The Rock returned and he was the guest host of WrestleMania, you knew that he was going to give somebody a rock bottom at WrestleMania, and it ended up being John Cena. And one other comment on Eddie Guerrero, I mean, you go back to him and that No Way Out match with Brock Lesnar, Goldberg interfered and gave Brock a spear, but you know, that's almost secondary to what Eddie Guerrero was able to do that night and overcome. And it felt like the fans were just so behind him, and it felt so organic. And it was just one of those moments that, as you just said, it just totally engulfs you and brings you in, and you're actually sitting at home. And you are just really clinching your couch or your chair, whatever you're doing, or you're standing. And it's one of those, I mean, I was, I don't know how old I was at the time, maybe 8, 19, 20 years old. And it was, that was a moment. Totally agree in that last man standing with Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Yes. And I would love to see more draws in WWE. You don't see that many draws. And for them to just beat the hell out of each other for as long as they did, and only to have it end in a draw, and Shawn Michaels almost made it to his feet and couldn't do it, was a lasting image, and it was a 5-star match for me, and I loved it. So getting to the current product, there's a lot going on. It's WrestleMania season, first and foremost, which, I mean, in and of itself is hours-long conversation. But more importantly, this is a WrestleMania that WWE, in my estimation, has to hit a home run with because of the fact that I believe they're starting to lose a bit of goodwill with the fans. They came out in a couple of months ago and said, oh, we're giving you a fresh start. And then we've seen flashes of them just going back to the same old WWE booking. So without getting into anything specific, what's your overall thoughts on the product as we head towards WrestleMania?
I feel they need to pull something out of the bag soon to really get. I mean, the Seth Rollins Brock Lesnar match and stuff with Becky Lynch is great, but I really think they just need to pull something out of the bag to really get people talking, to really make people think, right, we're ready for WrestleMania. You know, with the guy from the NXT call ups last week, you know, cool to see them, but at the same time, you know, already people starting to be like, we don't trust the WWE with these guys, and it's a shame, really. I mean, I'm trying to think of, you know, could there have been a better way to maybe make their debuts on Raw and SmackDown? You know, to me, I mean, this is just completely fantasy booking. But if it was me, I would have done something like, because there is this sort of tension with WWE at the minute. It's not, they have addressed it on television, and it's, you know, if you go on the internet and stuff, it's people, loads of people are talking about it. You know, if these four guys from NXT were going to make their debut so close to WrestleMania, I would have kind of liked to have booked a kind of Triple H challenging Vince McMahon with his four NXT guys and kind of have this WrestleMania standoff with Team Triple H Team Vince McMahon, maybe you had these four NXT guys led by Triple H, and then you have Vince McMahon with his WWE guys. Maybe you get, that's how you get John Cena involved, you get The Undertaker involved, you get someone, I don't know, if you can pull out The Rock, great, or Roman Reigns if he's fit and able to come. And, you know, I just think it just needs something like that. It just needs, at the minute, it just needs, the title matches look great. I'd rather just see Becky and Ronda one-on-one, personally, rather than Charlotte thrown in there as well. But I just think it just needs something completely left field to really, you know, people say it's predictable, WWE. I think we just need to kind of really, really hit the fans by surprise at the minute and just get them really something to talk about and really get everyone back on side for WrestleMania. Because at the minute, everyone's kind of just shrugging their shoulders and going, it's the same old stuff, really.
That is, yeah, I mean, and what's unfortunate is, and just kind of summarizing what you said, it feels just kind of like another pay-per-view that they're building towards. It doesn't feel that, it doesn't have that WrestleMania feeling. Yeah. You know how like Christmas morning, it feels like Christmas morning when you're a kid? This does not feel like WrestleMania yet. And as you just said, they need something. And I as much as I love the legacy stars, I love The Undertaker, I love The Rock, Stone Cold is my favorite wrestler of all time. However, there's no chance of him. I mean, he's made it very clear he's not coming out unless it's just for, you know, he comes out and stuns somebody and leaves. But I'm totally with you. As you just kind of laid out there, they could have done an NXT versus WWE, maybe elimination match with some major stakes on the line. They could have done something.
Yeah.
You alluded to on Monday Night Raw, they're just pulling these stars up from NXT and they're doing call-ups. And not only are they not making their entrances and debuts feel important, but they're not doing anything with these individuals other than just presenting them. They're not promoting them. They just go, yeah, here's our new stars. So here's what you wanted. You guys wanted a fresh start. You wanted new faces. Well, no. I mean, it's nice to see those new faces come up, but A, when they're ready, B, when you have a very strong story and reason to bring them up, don't just bring them up to bring them up to say, exactly. to say, oh, yeah. Well, we're giving you guys a fresh start. Well, that's only part of the equation. Give us a reason. Give us a good story for them to come up. So it felt very underwhelming to have all these stars come up from NXT on Monday Night Raw.
No, yeah, 100%, and it's, you know, it's just the fans don't trust them. I watch different people on YouTube, you know, all the time, and it's just everyone just doesn't trust the WWE with these guys. And I don't know if it's almost people say Vince McMahon's trying to prove Triple H wrong, say you know I'm the guy that knows how the WWE works, and I mean I don't get it, you know. It just seemed like a panic. Just everything about it just seemed like a panic move by the WWE. They felt that they needed to do something different and just pull these four guys up without any reason why. It just didn't seem right.
It didn't. It felt a little bit almost not fair. It felt I can't think of the word. It was very underwhelming. It was not something that you would want to do as a promotion, which they often forget that they're a promotion trying to promote matches instead of presenting them, which they do on a regular basis. I mean, look at what they did with Ruby Riott and Ronda Rousey on Monday night. As nice as I feel that Ruby Riott did in the match, and that I appreciate WWE trying to give her a second chance and trying to not bury her like they did the night before with Ronda Rousey and give her a little bit of steam back. The fact is, we didn't know there was a women's championship match until halfway through the show. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, they didn't promote the tag team match the week before with the Revival winning. All of a sudden, they just go, yeah, there's a tag team match. Well, I want to hear from these people. Why are they what's on the line? What does it mean to them? Don't just halfway through go, yeah, this is what's happening. And I think that is in part due to the fact that Vince McMahon is in the middle of the show, rewriting the show, which is scary. You know, so it's those kinds of things. And let's just jump into this whole Becky and Ronda deal. I mean, I'm on the side with you.
Yeah.
I have been for weeks and weeks and weeks, if not months, been on the side of Becky versus Ronda one-on-one, period. I don't need Charlotte. We don't need Charlotte because it's not the story with Charlotte. We have seen Ronda and we've seen Charlotte one-on-one. We have not yet seen Becky and Ronda one-on-one. I have nothing against Charlotte. I think she's one of the best athletes in WWE. That's not the issue. It's not her personally that I don't like. It's just that right now she doesn't fit into the story of Ronda and Becky. It should be one-on-one. It's WrestleMania. Now, do you think at the end of the day that she will be, or rather that this women's match will be a triple threat? Or do you think it's somewhere along the way WWE gives us what we've been asking for all along, and that's a one-on-one match?
I'd like to think it would be a one-on-one match, but I really think it's going to go down the route of a triple threat match. And to me, they should just do a rematch from last year with Charlotte. It kind of makes sense again. This time, Charlotte would be the challenger for the SmackDown title. And to me, I think if you're going to close WrestleMania with Becky and Ronda as well, surely your feel-good WrestleMania moment to end the show is Charlotte as the women's champion, Becky as the women's champion, and Bayley and Sasha Banks as the as a tag team champs, and just ending the show with the four horsewomen together in the ring at WrestleMania. To me, that's a really feel good, make a statement WrestleMania kind of moment. But you know, Vince McMahon, I don't know what Vince McMahon's in his mind sometimes, because maybe it's not Vince, it's, you know, pushing for Charlotte. You know, there are other people as well, I guess. But to me, it just makes so much more sense that the fans want to see Becky versus Ronda, and it's just this, again, it's just another example of Vince McMahon or the WWE creative against the fans. And it's just, and that's why there's a lot of steam at AEW, because you feel they're making an impact now and they are actually listening to what the fans want, I think.
And that is the danger of AEW, and I mean that in a good way, is that AEW, I mean, yeah, granted, we haven't seen a single show yet, but they're starting to gain some momentum without even producing a single TV show yet. And yes, the fact that WWE is a infinitely larger platform, they have been in the wrestling industry for decades and decades and decades, and AEW is the new kid on the block. And I get all of that, but AEW has a massive cash inflow with the Khan family. They have stars already signed, and they're advertising publicly that they are going to be paying stars, wrestlers, at a premium price, even if they're working a part-time schedule, and giving them much more creative freedom than WWE. When you say that to a guy that's in WWE that feels he's being held back, he's being suffocated and lost in the shuffle, if I was that guy and I was going to get paid at what I was getting paid WWE, but maybe even more for more creative freedom, I'm going to AEW. I mean, it's just almost a no-brainer. And yes, I'm not ignorant enough to think that AEW is going to overtake WWE. That's not the conversation.
No,
people,
it's not.
I mean, people are like, oh, AEW is going to put WWE out of business. I mean, come on. I mean, I've heard it, and I mean, that's that's laughable at this point. I mean, talk to me in 10, 15 years after AEW has been putting up a just significant competition to WWE. The ratings are rivaling WWE or beating them for 10 to 15 years consistently, and maybe we'll have that conversation. Right now, it's about just WWE maintaining their talent for a long term and trying to make sure that they don't migrate into that AEW realm. And I think that AEW could steal several stars from the WWE roster. I mean, Ty Dillinger just asked for his release. He could very well go over there. I mean, there's several stars. Mm-hmm. Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho. They have a very, very viable, respectable roster for a promotion that hasn't even produced one single show. So, but that's AEW. I mean, but listen, with Becky and Ronda circling all the way back, I think that it should be one-on-one. Ultimately, I think I'm with you. I think WWE is going to give us a triple threat because they think they know better than we do. And I've heard rumors of an elimination triple threat. And yeah, Charlotte will get eliminated first, and then it's Becky and Ronda, and everybody's happy. We get all that we want. But that's still not the story I want, because then you could make the case, well, what damage was done to Ronda or Becky prior to Charlotte getting eliminated? It's not a true one-on-one. I want both competitors at 100%. Staring each other across the ring while the crowd completely decimates Ronda Rousey. And let's be honest, that's what's going to happen at WrestleMania. If anybody believes that Ronda Rousey is going to be cheered, even in the triple threat, they are sorely mistaken. So the crowd interaction is going to be a blast the whole night. I'm very interested to see that. But ultimately, I'm with you. I mean, is it the hill I'm going to die on? No. Do I think it's going to be, if they do the triple threat, a very good match? Of course. But the story is what I'm after here. And the story here is Becky and it's Ronda.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like you say, I'm sure they'll have, you'd like to think they'll have the match of the night as well, because I imagine it will be WWE have been building it as the last match of the night, potentially. And you just like to think they'll have a great match, but it's a story. Like, if you're going to have a main event in WrestleMania, it's going to close the show. It's the match you want to be most emotionally invested in. And especially with such long shows that WWE do, especially a show like WrestleMania, it's the show you want, especially if you're here in the UK and you're up till 5 o'clock in the morning watching it. You want to be invested in watching the last match, because it means the most to you. I mean, as a wrestling fan, that's how I see the main event. And so you want the best story. And I think there's just such a better story and potentially that you could write for Becky versus Ronda than you could at the triple threat match. I'm sure it'll be a great match and they'll continue doing their thing like they're doing now, but it just seems like such a missed opportunity. But, you know, there's just so many things we could go over that they dropped the ball on with booking certain superstars and things like that. And, you know, it'll probably be at SummerSlam, or if Ronda is still around, they'll probably book Becky versus Ronda at another point in time, and fans will be kind of going, are you kidding me? We wanted this at WrestleMania. Why are you doing it now, you know, when the perfect opportunity was there to do it? It just seems there's a lot of that with the WWE.
That's the thing, and I'm all for the triple threat. I think that would be an awesome match, and that's a match that needs to happen. I'm not disagreeing with that. I mean, that people are saying, oh, that, you're telling me that wouldn't be a better match? You know what? I think from an in-ring perspective, it very well may be a better match. And I'm willing to sacrifice a better match for a better story. And that's the sacrifice exactly. I'm willing to make. That's exactly. Not the argument. And with all of this narrative that WWE is all about telling stories, you would think that this would trump the fact that they're going to have, I mean, let's be honest, probably a four-star match. I mean, all three women, if they have this triple threat, are going to bring it. And there's no question they're going to have near fall, kick out, submission. I mean, it's going to be an amazing match from an in-ring physical perspective. But like you and I agree with, I'm willing to sacrifice that, as crazy as that sounds, for the fact that the story is going to be, I think, a better story to tell if it's one-on-one. So we could go on with this forever, but I just want to switch gears a little bit to Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is going to be on Monday Night Raw tomorrow night.
No. And he's already getting heat. He's already getting heat again.
It's amazing. So I guess a couple questions. Number one, I mean, I know we all know why he's there, to address his battle with leukemia and basically where he's at. But number one, what do you think his real purpose is there for? Do you think it's letting us know he's going to be at WrestleMania? Do you think maybe he has a WrestleMania match? And two, do you think the crowd is receptive to him, or do you think the boos will still remain?
I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, I mean, there's people that are always going to be on Roman Reigns' back. I think you're never going to get rid of those people. I think Roman Reigns is great in the ring. I'm not one of these people that say you should, people can't stand watching his matches. I think he's great to watch in the ring. I don't particularly agree with the character. I'm not a fan of the Roman Reigns character, but I enjoy watching his matches, is how I sort of sum up my perception of Roman Reigns. For me, what made me lose interest in the character, I can't remember who the feud was against, but I think he said sucker and succotash in one of his feuds. I think it was Sheamus. And I was just like, I want to believe you're this big, badass Samoan, and then you're saying things like sucker and succotash. And I was just like, I just kind of lost interest in the character at that point, when they were trying to really skyrocket him. In terms of Monday Night Raw, he obviously will address the leukemia situation, and hopefully he's healthy and he's overcome what he's needed to overcome. In terms of where he gave him here, I mean, I think if it was just going to be an update, I think there would have been some kind of video update that the WWE would have kind of used on Raw, like maybe a week or so ago. I actually think it's going to be part of a storyline now, or going into WrestleMania. Maybe we even see Roman Reigns as a special guest referee against Rollins and Lesnar. There's that in the equation, or maybe Reigns is going to come out and say he's in Seth Rollins' corner. I know I'm expecting something like that personally.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I thought that this would be some kind of announcement saying that he is, you know, he's kicking leukemia's ass, as he just said. And, you know, I really hope he does. I have nothing against him at all. As you said, I think in ring, he is a great performer. I think he is the guy that you want representing your company outside of the ring. He's not going to get into any extracurricular activities that's going to put you in a bad spot. Okay, he had the one misstep with drug test he took. But outside of that, he's not going to be getting DWIs. He's not going to be getting in fights in bars and causing bad PR. That's not the issue with Roman Reigns. The only issue I have is that WWE has continued to push him as this babyface that is getting rejected by, I would say, the majority of the audience prior to his announcement of leukemia.
Yeah.
And it continued for about 4 years. I mean, after the fact that he got booed at the Royal Rumble with The Rock trying to support him and it still didn't work, that would have been my heads up, hey, let's just turn the guy heel. Instead, WWE, for the next 3.5 years, decided to give us an upstream swim to try to get him over and over and over, and he would just continually get booed and booed and booed because it's just it's a war of attrition with the fans. And Vince McMahon, as stubborn as he is just, unfortunately, this is where it's a blessing and a curse to be stubborn, and he just refused to turn him heel for one whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So do I think he's going to get booed on Monday night? I really don't think so. I think that fans, since it's been, since October that they've seen him, I think he'll get a generally positive reaction. Now, that may be initially, but once he starts talking, it's going to be interesting to see how the fans at least start to react to whatever he's saying and not be Joe, but be Roman Reigns. And once they put him into a storyline, they may switch. But we'll have to see. I mean, as you just said, I mean, putting him as a special guest referee, I think I'm fine. I'm fine with that. Though one way or another, I think that Roman Reigns will be involved at WrestleMania and we'll see a spear and he might or might not get booed. But I think that's ultimately what we're doing. I don't think he's going to be put in a match at WrestleMania. It's just too soon. And maybe he's just there to say, hey, I'm still fighting with leukemia. I'll be back after WrestleMania. I mean, we don't know.
I mean, it could be just a get people watching kind of thing. You know, Roman Reigns is maybe around. There's rumors that The Rock's around as well. I read somewhere he's going to be in the sort of location war is this Monday night. Maybe it's a ratings thing of Roman Reigns. Just kind of, he's not much particularly planned, but just having him there to get people watching the show. It could well be that. But part of me's just got this feeling that the WWE really feels like they've got to pull something out of the bag of WrestleMania. And if you're not going to have guys like John Cena, The Undertaker, Triple H, Batista on a main sort of stage at WrestleMania, they're going to have to pull something out of the bag. And perhaps Vince is wondering, I need Roman Reigns involved somehow, whether even if it is just in Seth Rollins' corner or maybe as a referee. I mean, again, it's a complete fantasy booking, but if you're going to make, if there was a perfect time to make Roman Reigns heel, that would be WrestleMania. Imagine he's raising Seth Rollins' hands and suddenly, you know, after winning the title, and Roman Reigns just spears him out of his shoes at WrestleMania. I mean, to me, that would be the perfect opportunity to make him heel. But I think, you know, I'm not going to sort of think that's going to be the case, because I still think Vince McMahon, as soon as he has the opportunity, he's just going to continue this relentless pushing Roman Reigns to the moon. And I just think that's just going to be the situation. I like to think they're going to go down a different route, but if it's been years now, and if they've not got the message over the years of reaction to Roman Reigns, I don't think they're going to start now.
It's kind of like predicting when The Undertaker is going to retire. We do it every year, and this has got to be his last year. Well, they got to do it now. And the same thing with Roman Reigns' heel turn. Oh, this would be the perfect place, perfect time. And they just continue. It's the same thing that is with The Undertaker, which he never officially retired, although you think he does year after year, and he'll leave his hat in the ring, and oh, that's it, and he's back next year. And this year might be the first year that he has not competed at WrestleMania in quite some time. And I'm not sad about that. As much as I love The Undertaker character, it is a part of my childhood. He is one of the best, if not the best performer ever in WWE. My eyes tell me a different story when I watch him at 50 years old in the ring trying to compete with Roman Reigns. His matches, his body is just taking a toll. I mean, I'd rather see The Undertaker retire and just stay retired.
It's almost like watching Muhammad Ali at this point when he's just had there's too many fights and you're like, you know, you need to stop. You know, it's kind of like watching Muhammad Ali at the end of his career. That's a feeling I've got after probably the last two Undertaker WrestleMania matches that I've seen.
Same thing. You want to remember them in their prime, not when they're trying to hang on to what they had. And right now it feels like Undertaker's doing that. But look, he's a legend. I would still watch a match that he has. If he comes out and just choke slams somebody, I'm cool with that too. I mean, but in a 15 minute match with a guy that's 20 years younger than him right now, I don't need to see that. Moving on to just one or two other things here. Kevin Owens. Now, I've been hearing rumors, and it's not such a bad one, of Daniel Bryan's opponent at WrestleMania being Kevin Owens. And a couple interesting things here. Number one, Kevin Owens has been putting on these vignettes or just basically taking video with his cell phone and sending it into the producers at SmackDown of him at like bowling alleys and movie theaters and hanging with his family. Do you think this is a babyface turn for Kevin Owens? And if it is, do you think he's a possible opponent for Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania?
I'm not overly keen on seeing Kevin Owens as a babyface personally. I have no objection to Kevin Owens being in a main event again. Well, a main event against Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania at all. But to me, you've still got to throw Kofi Kingston in there. I mean, I know they've got the match now at Fastlane, and whether WWE, if they are going to do a triple threat with Charlotte and the women match on Raw, would they do another triple threat match as well? I don't know. But to me, Kofi Kingston's got the momentum, and you know. Why you should always, to me, you should always go with whoever's got the most momentum going into WrestleMania. You should kind of give them a platform to really be able to show that. And going back to speaking about Eddie Guerrero against Brock Lesnar at the time, then, I mean, at the Elimination Chamber, when I was watching Kofi Kingston in the Elimination Chamber, it kind of brought me back those memories of people really rooting for Kofi Kingston as the same way they rooted for Eddie Guerrero back at that time before he won his first championship. And to me, you know, Kevin Owens would be great to have in there, Daniel Bryan. And if you could mix maybe the New Day effect with the sort of Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan storyline, if there is going to be one. There's rumours of Bray Wyatt as well, I'm not too sure. But, I mean, I'd be up for seeing Kevin Owens and Daniel Bryan. But for me, I'd still really like to throw Kofi Kingston in the equation as well. I'm not sure what's going to happen at Fastlane between the two of them, but there's going to be some kind of... Maybe that's when Kevin Owens could come back and just completely have the match ended in a no contest because he clears them out. I don't know, but if there's going to be some kind of dodgy finish in that match, maybe they could add Kofi Kingston to the equation again as well.
I would love to see Kofi in the main event of WrestleMania. I'm with you. But if I'm WWE, and this is, I guess, the only argument against it, if I'm WWE and I'm booking WrestleMania, the main event, one of the best WrestleMania main events, months out, Kofi Kingston is not in the conversation. I mean, months ago, I mean, Kofi Kingston wasn't on anybody's mind at all when they had the discussion, presumably, about who should face Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. And the question is, does WWE avert their plans from whatever their original ones may have been to include Kofi Kingston in a one-on-one? Or do they go the road that they might have been thinking of Kevin Owens and or a multi-person match? And, you know, as I looked at the SmackDown roster prior to this Kofi Kingston surprise, I said, well, it's got to be some kind of multi-person match, maybe a fatal four-way elimination match of some sort. I mean, and I still believe that may be the way they go. I mean, I think one way or the other, Kofi Kingston's going to be in the equation. I still don't believe it's going to be a one-on-one. And maybe they have Kevin Owens, Kofi Kingston, and Mustafa Ali versus against Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. And maybe that's the way they go. I don't know. But Kofi Kingston one-on-one against Daniel Bryan, I think WWE may not go that way because they feel that this is a temporary shot in the arm for Kofi's career. This is not a sustainable support for him. And I believe that's probably what they're thinking and their justification for not doing a one-on-one, that this is, they just got behind him for that one match, and this is not the true support for the character, and it'll go away soon. And that's probably what they're thinking with Kofi Kingston. But as you just alluded to, I mean, this guy is a 11-year veteran. He's been, I think, overlooked in terms of what he can do in the ring. And yeah, he's been successful with the New Day gimmick that's been going on for, honestly, I think far too long now. But he's been very successful. But I think ultimately that he's not a guy that they look at and go, that's a main event guy. And I just have that feeling that it's still going to be a multi-person match. And Kofi may very well be involved in that, and he'll have some very cool near falls and some very believable, oh my God, he's going to win moments, just as he did in the chamber. But I still think, and this is getting ahead of ourselves, that Daniel Bryan's going to walk out with that belt.
No, yeah, I think you're definitely right. I think and that's the thing about elimination. I hate the Elimination Chamber being so close to WrestleMania. I kind of preferred it when it was kind of around a Survivor Series time and a SummerSlam time, just because it just made it a bit more unpredictable. Having a pay-per-view like that so close to WrestleMania, you kind of get a sense of what direction they're going to go in, because you kind of know what the plans have been for a while if you read the right articles and stuff. So, yeah, I've always kind of been a fan of the Elimination Chamber being a bit further along in the year. But, you know, there's also the fact that John Cena, they were talking about earlier, this sort of just before Christmas, Daniel Bryan versus John Cena for the title. But I guess, you know, I'm not sure if I'd particularly want to see that, because if you do Daniel Bryan versus John Cena for the title, obviously you've got John Cena. If John Cena won, he'd beat Ric Flair's record for the championship belt. And it'd be kind of cool, because you could do the whole sort of bring the Bellas into the equation. You might be able to bring up John Cena's broken relationship with Nikki Bella, kind of get really personal. The fans are like that. But I'm so into the heel Daniel Bryan character right now as a heel, like I said, that, you know, if you do Daniel Bryan versus John Cena, you're not going to get a Daniel Bryan heel character, because there's always going to be a large section of fans that are going to cheer Daniel Bryan. And I just feel that might hurt the character as a heel if you do Bryan versus Cena at WrestleMania.
And where do you go from there? I mean, it's John Cena, who's a guy that's, I wouldn't even call him part-time. I would just call him sometimes. I mean, he's not even, he's a guy that, and I have no angst against John Cena. I mean, he's following the path of The Rock. And, you know, as much as he heavily criticized The Rock for taking that path, he's now ironically doing it himself. And that's fine. I mean, he's separating himself from WWE, doing his own thing. And we can all survive, and WWE can survive without John Cena on the roster. And we've all been conditioned too. I mean, he's not even – honestly, I don't miss him. And as great as a star as he is, when he comes back, I mean, I have to look at that hairdo that just does not fit him. It does not work for me. Just go back to shaving, you know, the sides of your head, and it's almost as bad as Shawn Michaels shaving his head completely. Although that is what he did at Crown Jewel.
It was not bad.
It was just so distracting from who Shawn Michaels. It took away from his character, but I just don't miss John Cena, and having him go against Daniel Bryan. Honestly, where do you go? Because right now it should be about building the future. John Cena is not the future. And Daniel Bryan could help a really young guy, up-and-coming guy, or somebody that's starting to reach the peak of their career, establish that career even further. And it should not be a veteran. I really don't think a Randy Orton would work. I don't think a John Cena would work. No. That's why I think Mustafa Ali, Kofi Kingston, even Kevin Owens, who is still in the prime of his career, would work, I think, in a match with Daniel Bryan. So one last thing, and then we'll wrap this up here. And these are all speculative rumors, but really more ones that have been confirmed through, I guess what you call them, credible sources, as we all like to anonymously say. Yeah, but the Triple H versus Batista match that has been rumored for months and months and months, and even Batista had said, I mean, publicly, that he would like to come back for that one more match, and if he did, he wouldn't mind facing Triple H. I'll hold off my thoughts. If this was a match that was actually going to happen at this year's WrestleMania, do you have any interest, and what are your overall thoughts on that?
I don't personally, like, I'm not particularly bothered about the match really too much. I think I might have been a few years ago. I'm not, but, you know, the Triple H character, the minute I'd kind of get a bit confused by the character Triple H at the minute, because it's so inconsistent. One minute he's like really sort of babyface NXT sort of character, and then he's a very heel character, and it's just his whole character is a bit inconsistent at the minute. And yeah, we haven't seen, you know, there's going to be fans in the audience that have no idea of the sort of whole evolution link between Batista and Triple H, because, you know, there's a big portion of the fan base that are so young at the minute. They probably won't even remember the first time they wrestled at WrestleMania, WrestleMania 21, I think that was, going back a while. And yeah, I'm just not particularly overly bothered. And there's talks, well, if Triple H is even going to be able to, is he even been cleared to wrestle? And they, you know, they're kind of holding off to see if he's going to be cleared to wrestle. And in that case, they might do Randy Orton versus Batista instead, which to me, I think I've got even little interest in seeing that match than I have Triple H Batista, you know, because they're talking about sort of maybe AJ Styles, Randy Orton as well, you know. But yeah, I guess some people will love it. Personally, like, is it going to be better than their match at WrestleMania 21? Like, if there was a kind of maybe, if they can do like a really interesting storyline, for me, story is a big thing. If they're just going to do this sort of nostalgia match, Batista versus Triple H, with not much build to it, and you know, Batista and Triple H are going to have like a couple of appearances on Raw here and there, not too many. I mean, if it's going to be a good story, I'm all for it. But with some of these cases, it's just put together really in a panic and rushed and stuff. And if that's going to be the case, I don't really have any interest in seeing it. But if they can pull a really good story out of the bag, I'll be all for it.
Yeah. Like you said, I mean, that match was, oh my gosh, 14 years ago now. And I remember it. I remember. I was watching it, and I was actually on spring break at the time, 19 years old. And I was like, wow, yeah. And I remember Triple H bad mouthing Batista and Batista overhearing it standing outside the room and things like that. And like, I was interested in that because Batista was one of the breakout stars of Evolution. And could they make this somewhat interesting? And again, this is all if. Number one, if Triple H is cleared. Number two, if they decide after Triple H is cleared to move ahead with this match, if Batista is still interested in doing this, and if they think that fans' interest is still going to be there for this match. So many ifs. But if all of that does happen, I mean, they're pulling off of some really old stories here. And like you said, a whole generation has passed here, you know, since this has been a relevant feud. And moreover, I watched the 1,000th edition of SmackDown Live. And when Batista got on the mic and we saw Evolution there, which was a cool moment because of how impactful Evolution was, you know, back in 2002, 2003. But the fact that Batista had got on the mic and said, well, you know, I never really cared about winning or losing. It was just as long as I entertained you. It's like, thank you for killing 10 years of your career in a single sentence. I mean, I understand what professional wrestling is, but don't come out there. Save that for your Hall of Fame speech. Don't come out there on SmackDown Live and immediately kill everything you've ever done in 10 years. And furthermore, if you're looking for a future match, now I suddenly do not care because you just told me you don't. So I don't know. Would I watch it? Yeah, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm a WWE fan forever. I mean, I made a whole podcast for WWE. This is what I do. I love it. But don't just pull back the curtain and make me forced to watch the magician, you know, show me that this is not a real magic act, that the illusion is not real. I mean, don't do that. And that's what Batista did for me. I know it's the 1,000th edition. I get all that, but come on now. So with all that said, I mean, would I watch it? Yeah. Could they make me mildly interested? Probably. But it's not something that I would go, oh, I can't wait for this. I mean, it'd be kind of like, yeah, cool. this is two legacy stars who have a history, you know, back at WrestleMania 21. And it'd be a cool nostalgic moment for me, you know, for the 10, 15 minutes that they have that match.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, they could make it a really good story. I mean, if they could throw Ric Flair into the equation a bit, and, you know, obviously, this week on Raw, they're doing the sort of Ric Flair's birthday celebration. That could be a really, really cool way to start a potential storyline. And, you know, it could be something that kind of is the thing that WWE really curveball the fans with. But, yeah, it could go either way for me, really.
Yeah, same here. And I'm thinking more that this Ric Flair birthday celebration is for Becky to crash. I think that this is going to be a Becky Lynch-driven purpose for this segment. After, you know, I'm thinking Charlotte Flair is probably going to turn a little bit on her dad and say it always has to be about you, and Becky comes to the aid of Rick, and then we get a that's how we get our triple threat, is, you know, Becky forcing her way in somehow. And I don't know. I can see this as a setup for Becky Lynch crashing, and somehow that ties back to this is how we get our triple threat and the fans get – an uproar. I'm really just interested to see how the live crowd reacts to the fact that when the announcement is made that this is going to be a triple threat, do they boo? Do they cheer? It's going to be very interesting. But everyone that I've talked to so far is in support of one-on-one. But listen, Lawrence, it's been a blast. I've had a great time here. We could talk for much, much longer. But it's always the case with wrestling. Time just flies. When you get two fans that are passionate about the product, I mean, you could go for forever. But before we head out here, let everyone know, again, how they can find you on social media, where they can find your books, and anything else you want to talk about.
Yeah, so my books are on Amazon, or if you're in the UK as well, you can go to Waterstones, a bookshop in the UK. But for people over there in the US, you can go on Amazon. My most popular book is called Terror at the Sweet Shop, and my newest book is called Can Such Things Be? That's that little short story I mentioned about the little girl called Jessica that wants to become a wrestler. And on Twitter, I'm on at lprestige7, which is LPRESTIDGE7, and I'm on Facebook as well. I have a Facebook page, and it's just Lawrence Prestige.
Awesome. Well, Lawrence, listen, it's been a great time. We'll have to do this again, and you take care, and we'll be watching Monday Night Raw tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm really interested. We'll see. Hopefully, WWE can give us a surprise.
All right, awesome.
Tomorrow.
You take care. All right.
Yeah, bye-bye. You too, buddy.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed the conversation with Lawrence. I know I did. Great guest. I'll definitely have to have him back on the show. You guys check out his books and check out his Twitter. I think you'll be glad you did. And before I go, one last thing I want to mention, and that is a YouTube channel I recently came across, and it's pretty cool. If you guys enjoy WWE 2K19, you enjoy wrestling, I assume you do. I assume you enjoy both. Check out the YouTube channel Not Ken A-N-B-U-T. That's N-O-T. K-E-N-A-N-B-U-T. N-O-T-K-E-N-A-N-B-U-T. So I really encourage you to check it out, because WWE 2K19, probably one of the best video games in wrestling of all time. And it is well utilized by this YouTube channel. They've got some great content with WWE 2K19, with Ronda Rousey and all the other women on the roster. Check it out, guys. I really would encourage you to do so if you are a YouTube fanatic, as I know I am. So check it out, guys. And on that note, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, hit me up on Twitter @TheWWEPodcast. And as always, I'll talk to you next time.